because the Young Bucks came back looking like they're doing the live-action Spy versus Spy. This is Keep of the Geek.
Gentlemen Bucks. I like it. Of course, they say the worse the facial hair, the better the run. So we'll see.
No, it was the outfits. Basically, you know. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say Spy versus Spy?
I know exactly what Spy versus Spy is. Okay. I used to read it all the time.
Okay, I don't know. I mean, that's a magazine that I would not see your parents letting you read.
Who said my parents let me read it?
Oh, that's true.
I had my ways. Library.
Right. The library did a lot for you.
Yes, the library did a lot for me. Comic books. Yeah. Magazine. Okay, anyway.
Okay. Yeah, so we're back again.
Yep.
There's something I wanted to say that I think we do, and I think we need to stop doing it.
What?
We seem to compartmentalize wrestling from pop culture.
Do we?
It does seem to like that. Oh, let's talk about this. You know, we're talking about this. Oh, now we can go to wrestling. It's all the way. Okay, this is the way. This came to me at work because I was working in the back a lot, getting stuff done.
Right.
And this kind of hit me. The way I look at it is when we talk about pop culture, if it falls under the umbrella of Dragon Con, we talk about it.
True.
And wrestling falls under.
Yeah,
Dragon Con.
It does. You know, I mean,
they have stars that come. They've had several that we've seen to where they've actually had panels. Although they haven't had a wrestler, I think since DDP, they haven't had him do a panel.
True.
They had, you know, he did a panel.
Yeah.
But they haven't. They've had some, of course. There's wrestling at Dragon Con, and they've had people like Teddy Long. Was out there and had some guys, you know, from like Bullet Club that were there from TNA. I think they worked TNA or they were from Japan.
I think he was over from Japan. It was one of the Good Brothers. I can remember which one. I don't remember which one's which anyway. I just know them as a pairing. But yeah.
So I just think we need to stop trying to
compartmentalize.
It's all pop culture.
Yeah.
And that was just something I wanted to bring up.
Our picture actually does have a wrestling belt.
Well, that's what I wanted to do if we were going to do this and incorporate wrestling into it. But we like wrestling belts. We also like swords. And we like lightsabers.
Yes.
So it's all kind of together and into one. As I sit here in Jedi robes.
Yes, you do. Very nice one.
Yeah, very nice. It's actually a Jedi bathrobe with hood and everything.
Had it weren't for the fact that you just got it, it would be in danger. But no, I just got myself a new fuzzy robe. I'm good.
Yeah, so I thought I'd talk about that. And it's going to be one of those days where I got an idea at work. I'm going to throw it at you, and then I've got my things that I think of. And it was, you know, because it's still the beginning of the year. You know, we can still do that. What would we like, you know, what we look forward to for the year. And I actually have, and you can think about it while we talk about this.
Okay.
The things I want to see in AEW this year. Yes.
Okay.
Since we've only had, what, 2 episodes now? 3?
Yeah, something like that.
And World's End almost felt like a reboot.
A little bit, but I think that was the point.
Yeah. And so I thought, okay, yeah, it looks like they're trying to do some things. Here's some things from what we've seen already that I'd like to see go on or just like to see. My first one is I would like to see the supergroups, the super factions.
Yeah.
You know, and as I have here, a.k.a. Bang Bang Scissor Gang.
Yeah, I love that name.
I like the idea of you have this new faction in the Undisputed Kingdom coming in and wanting to run roughshod over the AEW. And you have people wanting to band together. Because a lot of times when you end up with like these super groups, like say the NWO or Aces and Eights, it's always the group, the big group coming over and running roughshod over the thing, and there's no, like, organized resistance to said group. Everybody is, like, more out for themselves, or they're trying to be the hero that rides in to say, you know, to whatever. But so I like that idea. I'd like to see, because if you think about it, we already have at least one more outside of the two we're talking about that already has a fairly large group. Best friends.
Yeah.
You think about it, you got Trent, and you got Chuck when he finally comes back from whatever hurt him.
Yeah.
Orange, and Danhausen, and Rocky.
Yeah.
I know, so you already got that.
If you want. Chris.
What?
Snap.
I'm not thinking Chris as much, because that comes into something else I want to talk about.
Okay.
And I know she is a member of Best Friends, but you can't say Chris. But I was also saying they wanted to bring in another one. You have someone there that could be at least side, you know, adjacent with Hook.
Yeah.
You know, you could see House of Black maybe adding a member or two. But I don't know who at this point. At least who's already there. You know, that thing, that article we read about Moxley wanting to get more people. But that seems to more to represent them outside of the country. Because he did talk about Japan and getting the problem.
Marina Shafir, who's already been training with Mox.
Right, so. But he's basically saying, if she's in Japan, right, we get her to Japan and we get her wrestling, she's representing the Black,
Blackpool
Combat Club. So I want to kind of see this. I kind of like the idea. Now, you don't have to have, like, five or six different groups. Just enough to make it interesting.
Yeah.
And to have...
That would be good, yeah.
Yeah, three or four, maybe. So that's my first thing. I like to see kind of that super group, you know, come together and, you know, factions fight each other like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the fourth one could always be... Penta and the gang, because they already have a fairly decent side, you know.
Yeah, some kind of Latin.
And pack.
And pack. Well, you know,
a Latin group.
And pack. Who's supposed to be back soon?
Yes, in fact, he was backstage at the latest
Dynamite. Nice.
That's what they said. And I watched the What a Culture. I think either yesterday or the day before. And they said that he was backstage. He's not completely ready, but he was backstage, you know, just kind of seeing how everything's going on. And what's funny is he lives in the area that the guys from What a Culture Wrestling live in. I think they live in Newcastle.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they all live in Newcastle. And he lives in Newcastle. And you could actually run into him, like, walking around, just doing stuff.
Ooh. Yeah.
So, that was my first one. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see... This is a combination of two things. I like to see some women's groups start popping up again. Or popping up.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the Outcasts. You know, I'd love to see, like... And this is why I didn't bring in Chris. I'd like to see, like, Chris and Willow get some people together and do that. And this tags in the other thing is... The other thing I have that's kind of combined with the women's groups is... I think we need to introduce the women's tag team belt this year.
Yes.
And then cool it on belts for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the last belt they need.
Uh-huh.
Because if you think about it, they now have, it's like, okay, you have your world title. Everybody has a world title. Okay?
Right.
And I'm looking at WWE mainly. Mm-hmm. They have two now, but
yeah, whatever.
They have the roster and to
support that.
And then you have, in AEW, you have the International belt, which is basically their version of the Intercontinental belt.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have the Continental Crown belt.
Right.
I kind of look at that as their U.S., the U.S. belt.
Yeah, kind of.
You know? No, and it's not diminishing in anything, but that seems like it's another kind of... And this is not to be a disparaging anything, mid-card belt. Because that's what the Intercontinental and the U.S. belt are. They're kind of that mid-card.
Right.
You know, given some of the people who get those belts are either people who are never going to ever get the world belt for whatever reason. Because they may not be good enough to be the world champion, but they can make a great intercontinental champion. And the main person I look at when it comes to that is Honky Tonk Man.
Uh-huh.
I would not have wanted to see him with the world belt, but he made a fantastic intercontinental champion. And that's the way I look at those two belts. Or it's a belt that you put on a younger person who may later be worthy of going and getting the heavyweight belt.
Right. I would.
And gives them kind of a trial run or something. Gives them a run with
really
a belt.
I wouldn't really call it a stepping stone, but maybe a stepping stone for a youngster that's working their way up.
Someone to kind of prove, you know, can they prove to be a champion? And
a proving ground, yeah.
It's a proving belt. And again, not to disparage it,
no,
but that's
no
kind of what it is. Okay. And now you've got, now WWE doesn't have these, or they did at one point, but they got rid of them. You have the TV belt, which are basically a men and women's TV belt,
mm-hmm.
which is the TNT and TBS. Mm-hmm. You have those. And then you have, of course, tag team champion. Mm-hmm. Everything has the tag team. And then they have a trio belt, which I think the only other one that I know of that has a trio belt is Ring of Honor and their kind of
sister company.
Sister company, yeah. So, yeah. But.
But yeah, I do believe we do need a women's tag belt. I don't think we need a women's trios belt, though.
No,
I don't think they're quite ready for that.
No.
If ever.
But I think they need to hold off because of what, in the last 2 years, they've introduced the trios belt. They've entered 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I mean, just.
4. They've introduced at least 3 belts. With the trios, the international, and now the crown, you know,
right
belt.
But we definitely need a women's tag team belt.
Yes,
we need the women's tag.
And their roster has built up so much
right now,
they can support it, especially once other, you know, I mean, you think about it, you've got Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, and Penelope Ford, who are all out right now.
Yeah.
And so once they get back, that's even more people to do it. I kind of hate the fact that they released Bunny, because I thought a good group would have, you know, they had already given themselves they called themselves the Final Girls. We're starting to call themselves
the Final Girls.
The Final Girls.
Yeah.
But, que sera, sera. But yeah, that's something else I would like them to bring out. Because I think it's time. I think it's past time. And I wonder if he is waiting till, because I know they waited for the trios for, what was it, for Kenny to get back before they continued to be. They weren't going to release the, maybe they're waiting for Britt Baker to get back.
Yeah. Is she out injured?
I don't know. She just kind of, she got beat up by the Outcast while...
For a while, I thought she was just out taking care of Adam, you know, because he had the double ankle surgery, but he's now back seemingly all the time, so...
Right, so I'm not sure what's going here. You know what?
Yeah, I don't know.
You keep going. I'm gonna look it up while we talk.
I saw something, an article or a video or something. I didn't watch or read it, but I think they were talking about that. But I don't know. I mean, so sometimes you just don't know whether they're out injured, are they out doing something. I don't know. I haven't really heard with Baker. I mean,
Who knows? Baker. Yes, it seems this. I'm not sure how this was December 29th of last year.
Okay.
He basically, it seems that he let information slip during the World's End press conference. He listed Britt Baker along with others that AEW are currently missing due to illnesses or injury.
Okay.
I would love to see that list. He basically brought that out. The key people he put up was Kenny Omega, Pac, Adam Cole, Baker, and Jamie Hayter.
Ok can I just send a verbal gibsing to Kenny Omega right now?
Yeah, that was...
Boy, you are hurting. Why did you go to the doctor sooner?
He's mad. We do that.
When I had diverticulitis, they caught it early because I started hurting and went straight in. Anyway.
Again, he's a guy, and we unfortunately are kind of dumb that way. I mean, look at me. It took me bumping, taking a safe to the noggin to make me go to the doctor and find out all the shit I had wrong with me.
I guess I really can't talk that much.
Yes, Mistress of the Nine Toes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, but yeah, so that was my second thing. I actually did this as work. I actually stopped work and started writing stuff down because I didn't want to lose a lot of the thing.
I've done that.
My fourth one is, I think, and you know how much I love Eddie Kingston.
Uh-huh.
I think at this point right now, Eddie needs to lose all of the belts except for the Continental Crown belt.
Okay.
But have him have a very long run with it. Just because, one, seeing someone with all the hardware sometimes seems, and I don't want to say greedy, but it's like, you know, maybe we need another person. And it also kind of runs with something I had thought about, too, is they need to kind of separate ROH and AEW a little bit more.
Yeah, because they do seem to kind of interblend each other, and then it leaves some of us feeling like we're missing out because...
Right.
Can't watch the ROA stuff.
Right, so...
ROH, yeah.
Yeah, or don't want to have to pay another $10 for another damn, or however much it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much Honor Club is.
There's just too much out there to try to string. I mean, it's getting as much as the way it was back in the day. If you wanted all the cable, how much that was. Now it's, you're being piecemealed to death instead of just one company punching you in the nuts.
Yeah.
And that's part of it is they need, you know, he's had the Ring of Honor heavyweight belt for a bit. Let's get someone who is actually in ROH be the champion. New Japan Strong, that's one of theirs, whatever they want to do with it, you know. But I think this new belt is Eddie up and down. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's like he works so hard, and I think him having that belt will cement this as a must-have title. Much like what Orange Cassidy, I think, has been doing
with
the international belt.
I mean, and Eddie has gotten that moment of, you know, his nephew getting to be in the crowd, seeing him walk out with all three belts.
Right. And I think that would be, I like to see, and I think what it is also, it's more of a focus.
Mm-hmm.
He's just dealing with the one belt and not having it come, you know, people coming at him from all sides for all three belts.
Right.
Because that seems to be what they're doing right now, is everybody who's challenging him is challenging him for that belt and not the Ring of Honor heavyweight belt. I think that belt seems to almost be in limbo as long as Eddie has it.
Kind of, yeah. I didn't want to see him lose them with the Continental.
No,
but
I loved they did that storyline.
Yeah, I love that storyline, but I think it is over now, and I'm okay with him dropping the other two.
Yeah.
But I do think he should have a nice long run with the Continental belt.
Yeah, at least a year, if not a little bit more.
Right.
Because...
At least until next year's tournament.
Right. But I think the thing is that belt going to be up in the tournament still? I mean, is it going to be...
I don't know how they're going to do
it. Yeah, or is it going to be like the Hart Foundation tournament where everybody who wins gets, instead of... Well, they get a trophy and a belt, which is really weird.
Yeah.
But it's just hardware. It's more of a trophy.
No, because
that belt's more of a trophy.
There's some kind of challenge to that belt because he's already had to defend it once.
No. I'm talking about the Hart Foundation belt. But yeah,
no.
I know.
No, that's
no,
just
an he's honor. Already done it. Yeah, because he's also got to defend it against I think Yuta either tonight as we record this, it's Friday night, or at Collision tomorrow night.
Yeah, I don't remember right off
the top. But he is getting ready to defend it.
Right.
And he's pretty much
said... Although that does make me question, how are they going to do the tournament next year?
Actually,
we'll see.
The way, or would it be this year? Because it ended
technically
in...
technically this year.
I would actually like, because we've talked about this before, seeing the women's version of it, make it an every other year type situation. Like, this year, you don't have a men's tournament.
But they've already said they're going to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I think it'd be better to let the women have their tournament and then have the men do it the next year. Basically be it an on and off type situation.
I'm not going to argue. I like that idea.
But we don't book, so.
Right. We're not the ones that book
inside. But yes, but love you, Eddie. But yeah, I would love him to be like that cementing, you want to win this belt, you got to be a badass to get it. And I like that idea. And then to my last, it's just one I've been bitching about for the longest time. Seeing more than one women's match during Dynamite and Collision. They need to let the women, especially, if you want to have the tag people, and I know we don't see the men tag team belts all that much. I mean, it's not like an every episode thing, but we need to see more of the women's division on TV.
That's true.
Especially since they got rid, because the best place to have seen it before that was Dark and Dark
Elevation.
Yeah. Is because they did put on 3 or 4 women's matches on Dark and on both shows.
Both of them.
They were on YouTube, but they were at least out there to where you can go and watch some of these people. And I think they're doing a little bit of a disservice.
And I miss Dark and Elevation.
Yeah, I do too. There were some really good matches on there.
Because apparently there are Dark matches still going on.
Right. Well, we didn't see it when we went because they did
a... Well, we did. We were at an interesting taping.
Yeah, we were at a taping.
The one right before they went to Wembley. Before they went to Wembley.
And so they did Collision and Dynamite in the same night.
Right. So it was a little...
Ooh, that was a long night.
Ah, worth it.
Yeah, well, don't get me wrong. Worth every minute of it. We've not had a bad time. This was our second...
Third,
yeah, it was. Damn.
It was our third.
Our third AEW. Uh-huh. And it was worth it. I mean, it was 4 hours long, plus.
Yeah.
Because they didn't, because Dynamite's live, they're in a very tight, they got to get that stuff done. And that team works like motherfucker to get that thing going.
Oh, they do. All respect.
And Collision, they were taping and they taped it out of order. It was really weird.
It was kind of weird because they taped like the whole thing before Dynamite even.
Yeah, because they did the thing with Jack Perry and Hook about the FTW belt, and that was the very first thing they shot.
And then
of the night, and then they went into Dynamite. And I was like, "What? Huh? Look at
that!"
Then
that wasn't even the first thing that happened on Collision either.
No,
so it was like,
well, they filmed the main event first.
Yeah, they did.
The three-way with...
Here's a look behind the curtain to anyone that's never been to a taping. Sometimes.
It was a very, like, they talk about movies are shot out of order. That's what this felt like.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, it was still great, don't get me wrong, but...
Just, it was interesting.
It was interesting. I would love to do it again. Tony's teasing...
Yeah, guy comes out and is like, and they seem to really do like coming to Atlanta, even though we are a smaller venue than some of the places they go.
But we were their second home.
Right. And he was like, how would you guys feel about how do you think about doing a pay-per-view here? Crowd went fucking nuts. And he just went, good to know.
And then walked back off. Out. It was like, Odie! You tease!
Yes. So, now that I've gone through my list, do you have anything now that you've had a little time to mull?
Or anything you thought about?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't thought too deeply about it. I'm so ingrained in the current storylines.
Right.
I'm just kind of... Plus, I've just been too tired to think about it, to be honest.
I just thought it would be a good idea, and it was something I came up with.
No, I agree. It's just me, and I don't know. Yeah. This year's been a weird start out for me. I need to get my shit together.
We all need to get our shit together, but... So... Though, yeah. Shall we emotionally scar each other again? Alright. I know we haven't talked about much of it, but we are tabletop players.
Oh, yeah.
I've been playing tabletop since 5th grade and the Red Box, and playing D&D in the high school. Because when I was in elementary school, if you didn't go straight to your class, everybody had to go to the cafeteria, and wait. And then there was a bell, and then everybody went to their classes. And that would be one of the places where we would play D&D. We'd play D&D at lunch. I had a friend I played D&D over the phone with. And then from there, and getting older, I played some Marvel and some Top Secret at Riverside. And then as I got out of that, I got into Starfleet. I don't think we ever got to play. I think we were going to try to do a Gamma World, and that fell apart. And then I got into Palladium and Rifts, Vampire, and then GURPS. Mm-hmm. Is that what we introduced you?
Yes.
To the first. Our gaming group started with GURPS.
Yeah, that's when I got to start playing, was after we got together. I'd wanted to play before. I'd heard of D&D. I had friends at school that played different role-playing games, but I wasn't allowed to come play in the basement because I'm a girl. Oh, sure, they come and they tell me all about, you know, what was going on. They'd ask my advice. You know, my character did this. But, you know, where do you think I should go with this? But I was not good enough to come play with them. Especially when they were playing Bubblegum Crisis. I really wanted to play Bubblegum Crisis with them, and they wouldn't let me come play. But we got our game group going now, and I get to play.
Yes. And now we're pretty much strictly 5th edition, but that's because two of the people in our group...
Yeah.
Don't really want to try to learn another system. They're happy with...
And that's understandable.
But I love GURPS because it's so versatile. I mean, we have two fantasy games.
Uh-huh.
One run by one DM, one by another. We have a Firefly game. We have a Buffy game.
Yep.
And I think that's it. Were those the only four?
I think that might have been the only four.
I know we tried to do a Rifts game. That lasted about one session. Yeah.
And then we just kind of never went back to it.
No.
Still got my character sheet.
Yeah. I think we have all our paper sheets.
Yes,
sitting in a notebook somewhere, which I need to find so I can put William into D&D Beyond.
Yeah.
But we gotta wait.
I gotta get Belladonna in too.
Gotta wait for the Bly to open up that so we can do that.
Yes, I need to get my subscription so I can get more characters.
Right, and we already have a bunch of... So, in our group, we basically have three DMs.
And they cycle.
We have one who's got a homebrew where I play a gunslinger, you play a druid.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's been running us through the Tomb of Annihilation... But it's the broader game where we actually have to go through the island to get to the tomb.
I want to get to that tomb so badly.
Oh, no, you don't.
I know. We're not even high enough level yet.
I don't know about that. You just know.
I want my hand in the tomb.
Although, from what I've been told, they did nerf. It is not nearly as difficult. It is very difficult, but not nearly as difficult as what Gygax came out with. Then we have the captain, and right now he's just doing our Waterdeep one, which we will get back to. And then we have Bly, who does one that we do online, which is the Giants game. And then he also started us off on Strahd, which is one I wouldn't mind getting back to.
Oh, yeah, soon. We'll go back to Strahd at some point.
But...
So back to the Waterdeep game.
We started because we had been joking. kind of joking, but very serious. We wanted to do an All Bards campaign.
Yep.
And Captain got rid of... He had a homebrew that we were doing that was the first ever campaign I have actually finished.
Where
we actually came to the end of the story and our characters are now... off doing whatever they're doing as an end game.
Trying to make a daughter.
That's part of it, but I was also... You remember my Bard's thing was he wanted to hop
basically
from plane to plane and collect stories and spread stories and all that. So, because it basically the homebrew was kind of like Sliders.
Mm-hmm.
Where we were going from world to world to stop something cataclysmic from happening.
I think that's the one and only time we've actually our characters have gotten together.
Yes, you've always flirted with the idea of your characters having crushes on my character.
Once in a while, that was mostly back in GURPS.
Yeah,
but this is the first time we actually. Went for it.
Right. Yeah, almost lost my train of thought. Captain, he got Tales from the Yawning Portal. And so this is where we've done the setting for our Bard campaign. Now, what's funny is there's only one full Bard in our campaign.
And that's you.
And that's me. I'm playing a halfling of the College of Whispers. We've got two Bard Warlocks.
Yep.
A bard barbarian. A bard fighter. Yeah. A bard thief. And a bard sorcerer. Because I believe that's what Big Daddy D is. Isn't he?
I believe he's an Asimar sorcerer.
He's an Asimar bard sorcerer.
I think.
And Manhor.
And the player actually loves that.
Yeah.
I don't think it was originally his idea, but...
I think it was. We just ran with it because a lot of times when people can't make it, their characters will go off and do other things.
Yes, sorcerer.
And I think he couldn't make one session, so we sent him off to go back to... the Yawning Portal, which our Bard Party performs at, and basically tell them, okay, we'll be, stall them.
We'll be back for the gig.
We'll be back for the gig, as soon as we get this done. Well, we got to this last session was going to be a stopping point.
For this one, and then so that we could go play one of the other campaigns.
It basically gives the DMs...
Chance to switch out.
Because too many people have that forever DM, the Matt Mercer.
Yeah, and we try hard not to do that to our three DMs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in the process of this thing, we've ended up with a house. Because we did a mission for someone, and they
couldn't pay us.
They couldn't pay us, so they gave us the deed to this mansion.
Yeah.
That has story after story on it.
Which we need to start unraveling some of those eventually.
At some point, but I think we're good.
I think there's more important things going on right now.
So, one of our characters, the fighter, the bard fighter, is a changeling.
A young changeling.
Who's basically, the dude is role-playing as his son.
Yes, he is.
He has taken his son's mannerisms, and that's how he plays Dom.
Yeah.
And since we got this house, Dom wants a treehouse. Well, as it seems, there's a big tree in the back, and blah, blah, blah.
And we said yes, but other things have to come first.
I am the bard. I am, which is funny, the only one who is a full bard is the band's manager. He does not perform very much, but and that's my character. And I did tell him, look, we have to get the house because the house is in disrepair. We need to get the house safe and built first. Then we will focus on
a treehouse. Well.
So it seems our bard thief, who is a pixie.
Mm-hmm.
Or fairy. I don't think it really matters.
Small winged creature.
Creature. While I am off selling assets so we can pay to fix the house.
We all made the mistake.
Of leaving them alone.
Well, I mean, yeah. I shouldn't have run away.
Yes, you should not have run away.
But, yeah. They ended up getting left home unattended.
And started using the basement wood. Basically the flooring and the barrel wood. Because this place, the house we had, used to be a bar at some point. And there were still barrels of wine and beer.
All still good as far as we can tell.
Still, yeah. To build this treehouse. With the help of the ghost of the house.
Yes, Bob.
Who created unseen servants to help build
said house.
Let's just say my character was not very happy when I got back. To the point of I threatened to burn the treehouse down.
You overreacted. Dom was wrong. There, I've said it.
I didn't overreact.
You did too.
Motherfucker needs to learn.
Yes,
but
he's
needs
a
to
child.
Learn that life
he's
is
a child.
He's a li- he needs he's to learn a child. That li- he's a, he needs to learn that life is hard now and not at the point of a sword. Okay, now we're out of character.
Yeah.
My character, my dark character's got some deep dark things to deal with, which a lot of characters play, but I don't normally do that kind of character.
No. You scared me a little when we were playing.
So, it got to the point of where we go to the Yawning Portal, we perform. We had rooms.
At the Portal.
At the Portal, but we still kind of have access to them. I went up to my room during the entire performance.
Mm-hmm.
And tried to make up a contract with Dom. To basically go, look, the thing has to come down. Part of it's not safe.
Because the wood's rotten.
Right. So some of the wood is rotten. Some of the wood is good. But we will... Here's a contract. There's a chance for you to have the house get built quicker, you know.
It will get built. And it'll get built safer. But you gotta wait.
You gotta wait. You know. And
The rest of the band agreed with you on.
All except for Toot Toot.
Well, that's because that's our thief, guys, and that's because he's the cohort in this.
This, yes. He decides he can't get the house. In fact, he brought in one of the bards because we've been working with the Harpers, and people who know D&D lore know who the Harpers are.
In fact, two of our members have joined.
They've joined and tried to get someone from the Harpers to get the wood, and I said something about I don't care about the Harpers, which sent that guy rocking off. And
although he was more of a walking off of a, okay, I'm backing out.
Right. And then Dom decides he's leaving. Yeah. He's going to go join the Harpers, and he's leaving the band.
Which his mom and aunt did not take well to.
Yes, they went looking for him. Toot Toot left for to just go back to the house. Mm-hmm. I proceeded to go upstairs, write a note to whoever was left, basically to whoever was left, which happened to be the other warlock bard.
Mm-hmm. I'm one of the warlock bards, by the way.
With the key to our band fund, and I went back to the house to get my stuff and leave. And as this was going on, I get back to the house. I think Toot Toot's in the house. Mm-hmm. What is the other warlock's name?
Oh, what is her name? I can never remember her name. I am so sorry. I can't remember. I keep trying. I will get there eventually. Come on, water deep.
She's basically pulling up D&D Beyond, which we're using. Because basically, one of our...
Siriel.
Who's a drow. Warlock bard. Mm-hmm. She... Basically, she was the last one left. She's the one that got the note. She did see me leave out the back door. Uh-huh. And after reading the note, followed me. She was almost back to the house. You guys were making your way back to the house, but weren't close.
Me and Lala were still trying to track down Dom and thought maybe he'd at least go back to the house to get his stuff. Right. So that's why we were heading back to the house.
And Dom and Three Strings, a member of the Harpers and another bard.
I think they were almost at the house too, if not at the house.
Because Three Strings lived around there, and that's where they were going.
I thought Dom was going back to the house to get his stuff.
He told him no. He had all his stuff
but
with him.
They were at least heading into the same area.
And as this is all going on, a giant fireball lands outside the house somewhere.
And that's all we know.
And I ended it with looking out the my character looking out the window and going, not my circus, not my monkeys. And that's where it ends. Mm-hmm. So we've been a little bit, because maybe not talking about it doesn't get it, but it was a real, what we would call a critical role moment.
Yeah.
It is up there. I think we could almost put it up there with the, what's my mother's name?
Yeah.
My father, is he alive or dead? Where's my dog?
You have a dog.
Got into that level
If anyone knows that scene with Scanlan, we had one of those, and... We're not sure when we're coming back to this campaign.
No, because we're going to be doing... we're going back in the end of February. We go back to...
We're going back to Tomb?
Yeah, we're going back to the Tomb. And I know we'll be doing that for a few weeks. But we only do it once a month, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
We're going to do that for maybe... 4 or 5 months, and then we've got another one where we'll go back to the homebrew, Gunslinger Druid homebrew, because he's got some ideas. Sounds like he's got some ideas, but just haven't fleshed them out enough to be able to run a new game yet.
One of those nights when we're in that, when you're going to have to drive.
Why? You're planning on getting drunk during the homebrew?
If I'm going to play her, I'm going to play her right.
That means you need to do some edibles.
And maybe that's what I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
I know where to get them now.
Yes, yes you do. And it's usually just across the table.
Oh my goodness, I actually know where to get that stuff now. Oh, I hear my high school self freaking out right now. But yeah.
So yeah, let's just put it this way. One of our players, her last words to me when we all went to go, because they had to go to relieve their babysitter, was, "If you leave, I'm going to kill you." And 2-1, depending on how it all rolls out, I'm not leaving the group. I will have another character. But then again, we always have backup characters, especially at this low of a level, because we're only...
If Lincoln leaves the band, I believe Gloria and Lala are going to find a spit. Yeah. Oh, and look, we have fire.
But, yeah. But, no, we always have backup characters anyway.
Because, well, yeah.
I mean, our levels in this game are only level 3. I mean, damn, that Chimera almost took out two of our characters. And we have no money for Resurrection or anything, or Revivify or anything like that. And
no, we really
we
don't.
We don't have a healer in the party, which maybe is a good thing. I don't believe it. I didn't always... come back as a healer.
Without Lincoln, we're not going to make it.
You guys put on a perfect performance and gathered all the money.
We knew you were upstairs.
This is how intense some of these games get. If you've never played D&D and you want... This is or can be a... look into what it's like to play some of these games.
I'm still catching myself crying at the end of this session. Okay? I'm trying not to tear up right now as we're talking about it. Emotional damage.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah, it can be. Especially, you know, and these characters... I didn't expect it to get...
I didn't either. The whole point of doing an all-bard one was we were joking about it, and it's become...
very intriguing.
Yeah, very intense.
So...
yeah.
It's going to be...
Don't shoot that.
It's going to be very interesting once we get back to it. It is, but it probably will probably be the end of the year before we...
It could be.
If that.
It could be. Well,
it all really depends on who wants to play what and how long and
who shows
up, you know.
I guess for now we go back to the world where there is no resurrection.
Yes, that's the interesting thing about playing that one, is that if you die, there is no revivify, there is no resurrection. You dead, you dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm playing a cleric.
Yeah.
Which was a good thing. I did not realize that. I think before we first started, I didn't know.
Right.
But that we needed a cleric, and I decided to play. And here's the bad thing about being kind of weird when you want to make combinations of characters. Trying to find a mini sucks.
Can be, yeah.
You have to have them made for you. Because there's not a whole lot of call for a Goliath cleric.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I think you've done pretty well.
Yeah, and it also helps for my birthday. I actually got both two of our players got us... Got me bards. Not bards. Goliath
minis
yeah. That were very close to what Krom is. Yeah.
So yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
So with that, if you love us, if you hate us, if you think D&D is the worst thing ever made, you know how to get a hold of us. We are Keep of the Geek. keepthegeek@gmail.com?
No, geekkeep616@gmail.com. Yeah, I know. I had to remember that to post the last episode.
Keep of the Geek 616.
No, geekkeep
616@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
But we are Keep of the Geek on Twitter. X.
And on Facebook.
And on Facebook.
And Tumblr.
And Tumblr. Yeah, that's your domain. I stay away from the dark woods that are known as Tumblr.
But if y'all are on Tumblr and you want to leave messages there, I'm on there all the time. All the time.
Yes.
That's where you find me these days. Find me in the Tumblrs.
Yes. And, well, that's it tonight.
Yeah.
So, be good.
Be good at it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.